This podcast is brought to you by HBF.
This is the Direct Advice for Dads podcast, or the Dad Pod.
All right, hello and welcome to the Direct Advice for Dads podcast. It is the podcast by dads, for dads, both current and expecting. I'm Ross Edwards, father of two, 6 and 3.
I'm Dan Vandermeer, father of 3 little angels, 12, 11 and 8.
Yes, you are, Dan. And today, dear listener, we're coming to you from a very special location with a very special guest star, Dan. We have a learned guest on the show today.
It's pronounced learned, Ross.
Is it?
Oh, okay. It's a Simpsons joke.
I don't know. Yes. You're a Simpsons nerd.
Yes, a bona fide professor, Professor Marcus Atlas from the Ear Science Institute Australia.
Mate, this would be good for both of us, considering we destroyed our ears over the years playing in bands.
Bad bands.
Bad, very bad. Yours especially was bad, Dan. I wonder if our hearing's okay now.
What?
Peak dad joke there. Dad. Professor Atlas, hello and welcome. Can I start by saying your name sounds like something off the X-Men?
Thanks,
Professor
Ross.
Atlas. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Ross. It's fun to be with you both. Yeah. I'll help you with your hearing, but I don't know about it. The gags, you know, I'll just try and do my best.
He wrote them today and they're really
they're always
stinky.
Bad.
You might actually
help them out, actually.
Yes, look, we're going to find out all about ear health and how important it is for all of you listening to be aware of it right after this short break.
Hey, Dan.
Yo.
Is it hard to get the family's health cover sorted?
Nah, mate. With HBF Family Cover, you, your partner and the kids, no matter how many you have, are covered. The only thing you have to do is to remember to add them to your policy, Ross.
That's easy enough. Even I can do that. To find out more, search hbf.com.au. Eligibility criteria apply.
Now, Professor Atlas, we had the privilege of talking with the ambassador for the Ear Science Institute Australia in season 3 of the Dad Pod, a bloke that Dan wishes was his father, the one and only Justin Langer. How handy is it to have access to someone who can help you with your batting?
At last, you know. But no, Justin's been so great to us. He's a wonderful supporter of the organisation, and he really cares about hearing loss and the work that we're doing at Ear Science. So we couldn't be more grateful, and he's a great bloke.
And I love that you drive past this building and you wonder where it is. There's this, you know, 40-foot picture of Justin Langer on the wall.
Oh, there
I thought it was like a shrine. I started praying to him, like, thank you, Justin.
The Justin Langer Institute.
Yeah. It really is. It really is a shrine to Justin. And I see it every morning. You only have to do it occasionally. I see it every morning and I see him there and pray to him. And it's good. It's great. Good.
I might be calling him every day if he was my ambassador. How's my cut shot going, Justin? Anyway, Professor, in all seriousness, he made mention of a correlation between good ear health and subsequent mental health for men aged in their 40s. So basically many of the listeners who are listening right now. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, sure. The Justin's right. There's a very clear association between hearing loss and anxiety, depression, social isolation, and all of the things that go with it. And so it's a really big problem. It's well thought out. We really understand it. But the big thing is, if we intervene, will it make a big difference in terms of all of these variables? It looks like it, but that's the bit that hasn't been proven. But the association is very clear. So as you get more hearing loss, you've got more likelihood of being more anxious and more depressed and more isolated. You can imagine what it's like to have significant hearing loss and the isolation that involves. You don't want to get out. You don't want to do things. You don't want to do things with your partner. And, of course, for dads and their kids, it really isolates them from their kids and grandparents. I see a lot of older patients too who are isolated from their grandchildren. Huge. So it's a big deal.
No, I've got a 95-year-old grandmother in the UK, and it's so hard when we try and pick up the phone and speak to her because she just can't hear a word we say. And I've got to say, I'm guilty more and more over the time of picking up the phone less because it's just too much of a chore, and you know, I feel terrible about it. Are there any warning signs we should be conscious of with regards to ear health? For example, the muddy mix that you were talking about off air, Dan.
I'm right in that age bracket that we're talking about here. And I've noticed, and this might be a sign.
You don't look it. Honestly, you don't look it.
What a great man. you know, from a music background, and, you know, I used to record a lot, and I liken it when I go out now to a lot of pubs, like it's like a muddy mix. Like, you know, like I can't hear the drums clearly as opposed to the – it all sounds like one muddled – is that a sign?
Yeah, you bet. So you're right. I mean, you've had some factors in earlier life that predispose you to later adulthood hearing loss, and one of them is noise exposure. And I guess we'll talk a bit later about how we prevent things in kids. But for you guys in that age group, you're starting to notice the difficulty of hearing in background noise. Yeah. And we all get it. We all have difficulty hearing in background noise. But if you get a high-frequency nerve-related hearing loss, which you're slowly developing, we all do with time, and if you get some additional factors like noise exposure in earlier life and continued noise exposure, then these add together. You get more high-frequency nerve-related hearing loss, and the killer is background noise. And so that's what's happening to you. So you've got all this background noise. You're trying to understand some music, or you're trying to understand somebody talking to you in the midst of this background noise, and you're really noticing that it's not as good as it used to be before.
And I guess that leads to, you know, and this is just my layman's take on it, but, you know, if you are struggling with a situation where, and I've had this, you know, I'm at a pub talking to a mate and I cannot hear what he's saying clearly. So I just go, yeah, you know, and because you just can't, three times like, what? And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, no idea what he said. But that's going to lead to a point where you go, I don't want to go out anymore because it's awkward. You know, it's an awkward
that's
situation.
Social isolation. That's exactly what happens. And that's exactly what happens. And then when you're a guy who loves being out, and then you're starting to think, I don't really want to do it anymore, then you start thinking about, you know, do I really like all of this, and what's my life like?
Yep.
And you start reflecting on all of these things, and that's when anxiety and depression becomes an issue, particularly for people who love that environment and get taken away from it.
Yes. I always thought it was like, The worse you're hearing, the better your mental health, because you can't hear your kids going crazy and smashing the house up in the background. So, you know, ignorance is bliss. Now, is it simply just a matter of going to your GP just saying, mate, you know, I've got this, my hearing's crap. I think there's a real problem here.
Yeah, of course. It's easy. It's easy. Our community's got so much resource in terms of being able to get a hearing test. So it's not hard to get a hearing test. So you go to your GP, but you can even go to, at EarScience, we've got the Lions Hearing Clinics, but there are a lot of delivery of audiological services, and you can just go straight in.
Right.
Get a hearing test. Some of them you have to book, some of them you don't. Some of them there's a fee, some of them there's not a fee. It sort of depends on the degree of hearing test that they do.
Yeah.
But it's not hard to get hold of it. And so I guess what the three of us are doing are encouraging people to think about it, and and it's not hard for them to access.
And what age, what's a good age, men and women, but, you know, we talk to dads particularly, so what's a good age for a man listening?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a bit of controversy. You know, screening in the health community is a really controversial issue. My whole career, there's been discussions about when and how people should be screened for hearing. And even neonatal screening, you know, babies getting screened, is only in the last 10 or 15 years in Western Australia. But for adults, we'll come back to it, but the adults... it's said that we should have hearing tests every 10 years before the age of 50 and more frequently thereafter.
Okay. Oh, wow. Because you get eye tests a lot. You know, that's fairly commonplace, but the hearing test, not until you're older.
I agree with you. I agree with you. So eye tests are much more seen as being part of, in the normal realm of life, whereas hearing tests are not. But really, it makes sense to be tested relatively, you know, every 10 years or so, less than the age of 50 is a really good idea. But particularly if you've got a family history, you've got a history of ear disease previously, or you've even taken some medications that might cause hearing loss. They're relatively rare. Most of them relate to cancer treatments, but there are some. So those three things should really want to take you and get a hearing test.
Okay.
Or what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure I'm not hearing as well as I used to. Yeah. I should get a hearing test.
Yeah, sure. Okay. And you mentioned the neonatal thing. This is actually a question I've always wanted to ask someone of your
lack of stature.
No, I was going to say the reverse of that. I remember, you know, and we've talked about in previous pods about the whole process of being an expecting dad, and you go and do the birthing class and you do all this stuff. The one thing no one warned me about was when it was about 2 days into my first child, and I'm sitting in the room, and this person comes in with this machine and fits this thing on my baby's head. I'm going, what's going on here?
My beautiful baby.
Yeah.
Hopefully and they told you what they were going to do.
No, they did. No, I was complete trust. But what are they? They're clearly testing hearing. Is that what they're doing?
They're testing hearing. And so neonatal hearing screening, this is the only group that we routinely screen in the whole in our country for hearing. And that's just because we know that the if we find hearing loss at a really young age, our chance of being able to intervening and completely changing that kid's life is much better. So if we get them less than the age of 3 months and
so
intervene,
what do they play? A bit of AC/DC, a bit of dance music.
Sadly not. So it's just three soft clicking, yeah. and you might be able to hear the soft clicking. Well, you probably can't anymore,
no,
Dan.
But most
people can, and they hear those clicks, and we do these tests called an auditory brainstem response. So there's, do you remember those little pads they placed on the forehead, the shoulder, and the neck?
Yes.
And that will pick up these waveforms inside the brain from the ear hearing.
Wow.
And so
they can't say, yeah, no, I heard that.
That's right. They're not so hot at that. But we get them. It's remarkable what kids can do for hearing tests, even young kids. You watch these audiologists do these behavioural hearing tests,
wow,
and they're unbelievable. But anyway, that's a screen test for neonates.
This is a big one for Dan and I, for our kids. They're device mad. Dan's especially wear headphones a lot.
Yeah.
And he worries because he can hear the music from the headphones about 3 meters away.
Yeah.
He hasn't even got the headphones on. So he can hear his listening.
Yeah.
And my son is starting to use the headphones with his gaming and stuff. And, you know, what are the long-term damage signs, or what are the signs that this is bad? I guess that the one I mentioned is already bad.
In fact,
you can hear it extraneously.
Yeah. So noise is a big thing. But noise, you know, when I was going through training, it was industrial noise exposure.
Mm.
And that's now because of the way the community is and unions and employers.
Yep.
That's rare now.
Mm.
But
mm.
now what I see is adolescents, teenagers and young 20s with a high-frequency nerve-related hearing loss they shouldn't have, and that's probably mainly noise. Noise for music,
headphones,
and gaming and headphones.
Yeah.
And, of course, you can deliver a massive amount of sound through the earpods and the headphones, and so you can really crank this up.
Yeah, that's the direction these headphones are going, more bass, more this,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, a lot
of
sound.
Well, they're so concentrated too. They go right into the ear canal.
Exactly
right. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And so they're getting a massive amount of noise exposure. So there's two things with noise, the loudness and the length of time you're exposed to. So really loud sounds, you know, like explosive sounds, like an explosion, can cause hearing loss with just an explosion. But sounds that are less loud are associated with hearing loss when you're exposed for longer. So these kids, you know, it's hours and it's cumulative. So they get this thing called a threshold shift from when they get some hearing loss, and then they keep getting threshold shift, and then it becomes permanent high-frequency hearing loss with tinnitus. So they get ringing in their ears.
Mm. Wow.
So these kids are really starting early for getting high-frequency nerve-related hearing loss, and we got to help. We got to try and do stuff. So you're doing it by telling everybody that there's something they should be aware of.
Yeah.
There are noise limiters on some, you know, iPods now have got sort of noise limiters, and they've got information about trying to reduce noise exposure. So I think it's just making sure we tell the story and making sure that the kids are reduce
the
exposure.
In the household when your kids are exposed to devices and headphones.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. And this is something that I – because a lot of us have these Bluetooth headphones now for when everyone goes to bed and Dad's up watching a movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like that, and I'll crank it up because I want to get the sound.
Yeah.
And then I notice the tinnitus – the next day, I'll notice ringing. And I'm sure that's a residual thing from growing up, listening to headphones and being in bands as well.
Days
after sometimes, there is a bit of ringing there.
Yeah,
and
you're
I'm
right.
sure that's not great.
That's exactly what you're saying is exactly right. So if you've got tinnitus after that noise exposure that night, you've got this thing called temporary threshold shift. So you added it to the high-frequency nerve-related hearing loss that you've got. You added some extra temporary threshold shift. And if you do it frequently enough, it becomes permanent threshold
shift.
Right,
that was the question I was going to ask.
So that tinnitus is saying to you, oh, geez, I had it on too long and too loud last night because I've got it. And some families, maybe your family, is more predisposed to noise-induced hearing loss than other families. So you might get more of it than Dan. Because with the same noise exposure over the same period of time. So there are genes and things that we don't understand as to why some people get it more than others.
Yeah.
So you got that tinnitus and you should think to yourself, oh, you know, I made a blue. I shouldn't have had that much noise exposure.
No, I remember the wife saying from the bedroom, I can hear your bloody headphones in here. So I'm doing way worse damage than the kids. Actually, full confession, this is all about me, this podcast. Nothing to do with my kids.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Well, what a great chat. Thank you, Marcus. My final comment, I guess, and we talked about it briefly before, is you're probably one of the few dads in the world that can't claim the old, oh, I can't hear, you know.
Because you have to hear.
Oh, no, I tell you, my kids will not get off my back. You're not listening to me. You need a cochlear implant. That's what they're saying to me. That's what they're saying to me now. So my kids are older, right? But they're all over me. So you can look forward to this.
Oh, I'm already getting it. Don't worry about that.
Oh, there's nowhere to hide for you. And just one more for me.
Oh, sorry, a selfish one.
Yeah. My daughter actually is on antibiotics at the moment. She's got an ear infection. And I think it sort of started the other night or made a lot worse. I was off in another room and she got hold of the cotton buds and jammed one in her ear.
Oh.
Cotton buds, I must say, I do use them for my ears when there's a bit of wetness there. And we do hear that they're bad. Am I doing permanent damage there? And am I passing this bad behavior on to my kids?
The answer to this is yes.
Yes.
But I'm reluctant to say it. This is at the end. I don't want to be having a go at you at the end. But you've got to be careful with cotton wool buds because
feels so good though.
Oh no. Well, you know, people who get itchy ears, it's often due to dryness, particularly winter, you know, with all that. So if you moisturize the ear canal with some olive oil or baby oil drops, you'll get much less itch and you'll want less to put the cotton wool bud inside the ear. So you reduce the itch.
Wow.
And so stop using the cotton wool buds because they scratch the ear canal, they push the wax further in, they don't take it out.
Yeah. And so they're the devil really.
Yeah, they are really. I don't want don't take any blame for your child's acute middle ear infection because that was not caused by the cotton wool buds.
Okay.
I think there's just a tendency to use them, but acute otitis media is usually a cold or a cough or a respiratory tract infection that's predisposed to in kids. Okay. So it's a bit different. So you're off the hook.
Oh, that's good. Okay. I feel much better. Yes. Yeah, good. You know, when you're making a salad tonight, Dan, when you're putting that drizzle of olive oil on, just a bit in the ear hole.
Just turn on side. I know a joke about that, but I won't tell it.
Yeah. No, listen, on behalf of everyone listening, Professor Atlas, it was an absolute pleasure to have someone of your standing on the Dad Pod today. Thanks so much for your time.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Oh, my God, Dan, did you hear all that? Were you listening to that?
What a guy. Like, seriously, very kind of him to let us into his office.
He had many leather-bound books.
He did. Rich mahogany on the wall.
Rich mahogany.
And you know, it's nice when you meet guys who clearly are at the top of their game and doing very important work, but yet it's still so down to earth and just a...
Who
clearly care about what they do for a living and the difference they're making in the world. It's fantastic.
And look, we care about you, the person listening to this particular podcast. That's why we're going to get to one of your questions right now from our Facebook group, Direct Advice for Dads on Facebook. Drop us a note if you've got a question to ask about parenting.
Yes.
What have we got this week, Dan?
This is from Ryan in Adelaide, Ross. He asks, "Hi guys, I'm a first-time dad with a nine-month-old boy who is super easygoing. Nevertheless, I'm really struggling at the moment with work. I put so much effort into helping my wife get back to work for her mental health, career aspirations, etc. And I feel like it's all starting to fall apart for me. Between rocking up just in time because I've had to do the frantic daycare drop-off or having to take days off because my boys are sick from daycare or just being plain tired. Any advice on how to cope with being non-stop under the pump?"
Yeah, man, this is... first answer is it's not going to get easier.
Not
in the immediate future.
No.
And the second thing, hats off, man, because blokes these days are expected to accommodate their female counterpart, the mother, to get them back to work. And, you know, they go through a lot of stuff with their body and their mental state. So we are expected, and rightly so, to toe the line. But now it's gone, I feel in some cases, and it looks like in this case, that it's gone perhaps the other way too far and you've neglected your own needs.
Yes. Oh, and, you know, the first thing that's stood out to, you know, Ryan's thing here, and I'm feeling for you, Ryan, man, the mental health thing, he's right. You know, there's a real emphasis and a correct emphasis on getting the mother back into some semblance of work.
Yeah.
If she chooses to, she doesn't have to. But, and that's great and we empower that. That's fantastic.
My missus wanted to become a kept woman, but I said, no, I'm skint. You have to go back to work.
Go back to work. Mine too. But, you know, you can't underestimate the power of the towards mental health that is from going back and doing something other than being a parent.
Yeah.
Because it's such a big change. You suddenly got someone else. I actually had asked someone on the weekend how, you know, I hadn't seen him since he became a dad. And he works in radio like you and I, Ross. For people that don't know, we work in radio at our day jobs. And he said to me something to the tune of, well, it's the first time in my life I've had to care for someone else other than me. Clearly, he had a bit of a, you know, loves himself a bit, you know, and which all most people do because that's what they do. They do. They're on air. They love talking, you know, yeah. And that's fine. But it's a real shock to the system when you're suddenly looking after someone else to get this. And you're right. This sounds like Ryan has done absolutely the right thing by his partner and whatever else and forgot about himself, sadly. So you got to get back into looking after yourself, Ryan. That's what I would suggest.
We'll put you in touch with Dan because he's an expert on me time.
Yeah, I am actually.
Many really episodes am. On me time. But seriously, I think this is becoming a very important topic for men, mostly for men, I would say, who are trying to do the right thing. And then becoming a little bit of a martyr in the meantime. Don't forget about your own needs, your own mental health, and I would say communicate with your partner about how you're feeling and that it's got to, you know, it's going to come to a head.
And to break down the other part of this too, because I feel like there's two parts to this question. Yep. The second part, and this happened to me the other day, just the other day. So he's saying that, you know, he's frantically trying to get to work because he's got daycare drop off or then, you know, one of the kids is sick. You know, I think we've said it before in this podcast, you know, I think most workplaces are pretty hip to the jar when it comes to, you know, the dad being a bit more hands-on. Yes,
and communicate with them.
Yeah, yeah. So I had this the other day. I went and picked my daughter up from school and I was running 5 minutes late because I was here and I was like, I've got to get this thing done. And then I felt guilty about leaving work early.
Yes.
And then I felt guilty about picking her up late.
Yep.
But she was cool. She was just sitting there. You know, she's a bit older than probably most dads listening to this. She's 13 now.
Yep.
She's got a phone. I could contact her and say, you know, look, I'll be 5 minutes late. So she just waited by the tree like as she does outside school. But there was that innate sense of guilt that I got from – and all, you know, work would have understood. And my daughter understood, but I still felt the guilt.
No, you do. And you take that away with you.
Yeah. And it's up to us dads to go, you know what? Shit happens. Yep. I think communication's key here, Ryan.
Yeah, it is.
So yeah, talk to your partner, talk to your workplace. And just to sum this up, like this is how far we've come, Ross.
Yeah.
There's one of our colleagues is about to go and they're having their first baby. He's literally any day now. And I was talking to him yesterday about my first.
Mm.
And I said to him, when I had my first, this 13 years ago, I said, I remember saying to our boss at the time, I will go and have the baby because we were induced.
Yep.
So it was on a Thursday or Wednesday, sorry. I'll be back in on Thursday and Friday to keep working. And, you know. And then what happened? I woke up the next morning. So I didn't stay at the hospital. I went home. So it was me by myself. I woke up this morning. I literally got in the car, dressed to go to work, got in the car. And I didn't drive to work. I drove to the hospital and I spent all day and then the rest of the day. And this guy said to me, Mark said to me, what, they didn't give you time off? I was like, no, man. That's like, that's what it was back in the old days.
Back in the day.
Yeah. But the point being is that's how far workplaces have come to the point where he's getting automatically, I think it's 2 or 3 weeks, paternity leave for the really special moment in your life when you bond with your baby. It's crucial, you know.
No, you need to be
so,
there.
So, you know, have a chat. Drop the guilt if you can. I know it's easy to say, but you've just got to look after yourself. Yeah, communicate and
don't take the piss. Like, you know, if you're worried that you're being late for work, then stay another 10 minutes after, you know?
Yeah.
There's got to be a bit of give and take.
Well, and the beauty of COVID too, this is what I do every day now. I go pick my daughter up from school early, but I go home and I keep working.
Yeah.
I just log in remotely. And if you can do that, obviously it's not every job can do that.
Yeah. I mean, he's got one tab open shopping online, but you know, working, quote unquote. Mate, hope that answers your question, Ryan. Keep up the good fight, brother. You're leading the charge for, I hate to say it, modern men.
Yeah, good on you, mate.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, that's just about it for this week's episode of the Dad Pod. We're going to be back real soon. Meantime, if you want to subscribe, please do that where you get your podcast from. And also leave a 5-star review because it looks good for us and we might even get a nice little pat on the back from our boss. Till next time, catch up.
Bye.